is Ash from Horrorfix, and hot on the heels of Halloween, as we're coming into that ever-festive celebrity of horror that we love each and every year, we've got something special coming to you today. We're with Travis Taylor. Travis is the owner of Immediate Threats, Immediate Threat Solutions. That's ImmediateThreats.com, right, Travis?
Yes, it is.
And with the premiere of Walking Dead being just this past Sunday, and then, of course, follow-up episode being just a few days, everybody's sort of crazy about The Walking Dead, crazy about the eighth season now coming back this year. So we thought what we'd do is we'd talk about zombies today, and I think that you're probably the perfect person to bring in to talk about zombies with us, especially because part of what you do is sort of teaching people about how maybe they would survive a zombie apocalypse should this thing actually happen. And some of us are actually hoping for it. Others aren't. But some of us are thinking true. Just maybe to mix things up. You know, I think that might be the ultimate drain the swamp.
Oh,
is if we do have
drain
the zombie
the swamp
apocalypse.
On all levels.
Right. And then stuff crawl out of the swamp, of course, after we drain it. So it's sort of a no-win there. But tell us a little bit about, first of all, Immediate Threat Solutions, and what exactly you're doing and how that ties into the sort of the hysteria of the panic of this zombie epidemic that some people actually think might happen.
All right. Well, a few years ago, FEMA did this advertising thing to get people ready for disasters, tornadoes, and, you know, hurricanes and all this, and they used zombie preparedness as part of their ploy to get people to preparedness. Really, it's all the same whether you're preparing for a nuclear holocaust or preparing for a tornado or a zombie apocalypse or whatever it is. It's the basics are all the same. It applies to all levels of it. So what Immediate Threat Solutions does is, aside from training people in survival and tactical stuff, is basically what we focus on is training people to use the greatest survival tool they have, which is their mind in all things, you know, whether no matter what the situation is. So it's a people training people thing.
Well, and then we get into the people eating people thing.
Right. Which is fun sometimes, depending.
Right. I mean, you have to pay extra for it in some situations.
Right.
But in this instance, so you actually have like a 3-day event that that people can get on the website. They can, you know, talk to you. They can reach out, and you can set up with them. And this 3-day event, what sort of simulates the idea of what would happen if you were actually in one of these situations?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Like I said, a zombie apocalypse, a hurricane, a tornado, whatever it is, something. And it's the difference we say is disaster preparedness is you prepare for tornadoes, hurricanes, a minor breakdown of infrastructure. Cataclysm preparedness is what this involves, and that is a complete breakdown of all society on all levels and all nations everywhere. So whether it's a nuclear holocaust or a zombie apocalypse or whatever, there's just you and then that's it. So what we do is we get people together, we do groups, and we do individuals as well, but the only thing you can take is what you can carry, and that has to get you through the weekend. We take you out to a very remote area. There's nobody around, down by the river. Very local to Springfield, very close, but it's very remote, isolated. We set up camp. We show you how to set up a camp, a low-visibility camp, limited smoke. So basically, you're not being seen by whatever it is you're trying to avoid, whether that's, you know, enemy forces or zombies or aliens or whatever it is you're trying to run away from. And we teach people how to cooperate, how to guide groups, because that's the biggest thing. As you know from watching The Walking Dead, sometimes people working in groups don't work so well. So
now, some of these people do not play well with others,
right,
at
exactly.
all.
Exactly. And that's really the biggest challenge in all this stuff is people interacting with people. So that's basically what it is. We all get together, teach people how to do patrols, how to set up a secure camp, how to get ready to evac, and a moment's notice if somebody does the crazy turncoat thing and lets the zombies in or brings the whoever's after you to you.
So in addition to this external threat, we always have to worry about the human element.
Always. That is the penultimate. That's the deciding factor between survival and not making it through is interacting with other people. Only cooperation can save us, you know, so.
Well, and people might think that's a rather like pessimistic view on society, but you're realistic.
Oh,
I mean, it's not so much pessimistic, but realistic.
Right. And one of my, what led me into doing all this is the hundreds of hours of training I've had with FEMA. One of the things they focused on is after the event, how people cooperate, how people work together, how systems work, how the infrastructure stays solid. And when you research huge disasters like hurricanes that level whole cities, you know, the Katrina situation, whatever it is, what you always have is like immediately there's a breakdown of cooperation and civility between people. You know, as a kid, I watched this. I think it was Twilight Zone or Outer Limits. There was this about this guy who built a bomb shelter.
Well, those are always the ultimate don't trust your neighbor series.
Exactly. That's what it was.
Yes, be careful what you wish for and then don't trust the guy next door.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, they make fun of him for building a bomb shelter, and then when the bombs start dropping, they come over and they win, and he won't let him, so they try to kill him and take it. And that's what happens, really. So it's interesting.
Now, we look at series like The Walking Dead, and, you know, there's this mix of drama and obviously the mix of... you know, the horror of having to survive not only the elements, but to survive a total, you know, change in regime. But then you have these things like zombies or, you know, in certain cases, you know, it is like an alien invasion, you know, in other shows. But, you know, the similarities are there that there's this external threat and it's just a complete upheaval of society, a complete upheaval even of values. So do you find that people get a taste of that when you're teaching them, when they're learning? Do you see the gears turning? Like all of a sudden, you know, they're getting into that mode where wow, in this scenario, you know, when the shit really does hit the fan, you know, bring your wading boots.
Right. Well, that's the hardest thing to overcome in training people. I mean, I can train you how to use a weapon. I can train you how to apply that weapon in the proper situation, do it safely. But teaching a person to have the willpower and desire to use it, you know, that's the big thing. And you've seen Walking Dead in basically all these movies, no matter what the external threat is, like you said, it takes a matter of moments to figure out how to deal with that external threat. You got aliens, well, you figure out what kills them and you kill them. You got zombies, you blow their heads off. This is it. But then the rest of the time is all about interacting with other people, and that becomes the biggest threat. So you've got a bunch of zombies in the yard, figure out a way to smash their heads. You've got a bunch of people in your basement. Half of them don't want to be there. The other half do. A third of those want to take over. A third just want to be left alone. A third has mental issues. You know, on and on and on and on. That it's like the toughest thing to do is deal with people.
So do you teach people the, like, cooperative team-building skills as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we try to do that. We put leadership skills. Working well with others is basically the big thing because cooperation is it, man. If you don't have cooperation, you know, no person's an island.
So what could a person expect? Like, walk us through. So a person decides they're going to call you and they say, hey, listen, you know, whether it's recreational, they say, I just want to do it just to see, you know, test my mettle. I want to see what my toughness is. Or, you know, I've got my family and, you know, we're worried. Times are changing. The world's changing. We need to be prepared for anything. And I think doing it in this forum might give the kids some entertainment, but at the same time might teach them these values. So what could they expect? They give you a call. You know, you set up, is it 3 days?
Right, if that's what they want to do. Basically, it all starts with that initial contact, having to have the willpower to get out there and, you know, send that email or make that call or whatever it is you need to do to get hold of us. And then we'll talk to you and figure out what it is you want, and we will try to custom build training modules to work towards your goal, whatever it is, whether you want to learn how to build fire with just two sticks, which is a lot more challenging than people think it is. They see it on TV.
Right, yeah.
Or you want to learn how to work well with others. You want to learn how to get your family out of the city when something real terrible happens. You want to learn how to pinpoint accuracy, shoot something in the brain as it's lurching towards you in the night. We do all that stuff.
So what interested me in what you just said was getting people out of these heavily populated areas. Because even a town, and we're not in a huge town, I mean, it is the capital of Illinois, but we're still looking at population about 100,000 people than some of the surrounding areas. But for us, that's almost insurmountable, 100,000 people when you think about it. When you think about being in a situation where you have 1,000 people, even a situation of being in 100 people, and I think that that is probably, unfortunately, one of the worst things that these series and these movies convey is that, you know, you see this threat, but it's a quarter of a mile away. It's a half a mile away. And it's like you have all of this time to sort of decide what you're going to do. But, you know, for most people, and even a situation where you're walking down the street, unless you're coming from a bar and you had a couple drinks, two assailants is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. But the idea of 10 going into dozens, going into hundreds, going into thousands. So if a person is in the city, what advice would you have for a person that's in, and let's just go ahead and use Springfield, Illinois, because that's what we're broadcasting out of. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you have for someone in Springfield, Illinois, population of 100,000 people, when, you know, this comes down, when things start to, you know, quote unquote, get real.
Right.
Where do they go? What do they do?
Well, in situations like that, even in a town, let's say 100,000 people, it's not a huge city, but if you haven't prepared for it, you should find religion real fast. That is basically...
There are no atheists in a foxhole. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they say that, and that's, you can stand with your convictions as far as religion goes, but it truly comes down to when you research all these things that's happened in huge cities, hurricanes, just riots, what you hear is people, they're not like, you know, the police came door-to-door and said, hey, there's going to be this riot and crazy thing. What it is you open your door, and it is there. There's nobody running and pointing over their shoulder and screaming, run. It's just, you're in the shit as soon as the door opens. So that's why training and preparing is so important. You open up the door, you see your neighbor being held down and eaten by a couple people, you shut the door, and you start activating your plan.
So I guess that would be my next question. The follow-up question would be, what does the prepared person do?
The prepared person, they prepare by making a plan, getting supplies, identifying what it is their goal is, preparing for all contingencies, which is difficult to do, but you put your goal in mind and then work your way back. What will I have to do to attain my goal? What challenges will I have to face to get there? A prepared person will either bar the doors and windows, get their weapons ready, shelter in place, or the kids will throw their go bags on and you will all evacuate the city on a planned route in a planned manner. So.
Now, is higher ground still the route to go?
Right. It depends on what threat you're facing. Sometimes low ground, complete invisibility. And basically, when you're talking about other human beings being the challenge you're facing, invisibility is what you want. Because there's always a bigger human, a bigger fish, a bigger human, yeah, out there ready to face you and take your stuff.
Well, and this is always the question that a lot of people love to ask, because this is the question that's very visceral and visual in our heads, especially from all the media that we've seen, is how does something like this start? I mean, because we always have to look at sort of the origins and the inception of how does an airborne virus start, for example? How do these things happen systemically? Is this something where we're going to hear about it on the news? Are there red flags? I mean, we're always hearing about emerging viruses. We're always hearing about what can kill us next. I mean, that's always the tease on the nightly news. But what are we looking for? What would we be seeing? What would we be hearing to tell us, okay, we need to start brushing up on these plans we've set in motion. We need to take a look at what our resources are. What are going to be some of those first signs?
Well, see, therein lies the rub. A lot of times there are no first signs. You know, maybe in the 40s and 50s when you had three scientists working on a way to reanimate corpses and one of them did it and it broke loose and bit somebody that way. But now you have literally huge corporations of people working on viruses, weapons of mass destruction, innocuous things that could turn into something terrible. The particle colliders, you know, we could make a black hole, but more than likely not, we're not going to worry about it. So the threats are all around us and can happen at an instant.
You know, or like places like CERN, where we might not hear about their failures.
Right.
So there might be 100,000 failures, each of varying degrees of success, before they finally get the thing that they're going to send out the press release for.
Exactly. And that's how science works now that we're all crammed into this planet so tight. Our networks are so deep that one scientist says, I tried to reanimate this corpse and I got his finger to move. Well, then there's 150,000 scientists who have all that information and they get to continue to try to perfect that. So things don't happen over the course of months or years. It's literally instantaneously.
Now, do you think that if we had anything that acted along the same lines of what we see like a zombie virus do, what do we have now that you think would be that threat? Do you think it would be something like, you know, a laboratory-controlled virus?
It could be absolutely anything. To me, when I look around the world around me and I see the way we as humans interact, I think the most dangerous thing out there right now is just other people, not scientists, not big government organizations, but just people.
So probably the big baddie would just be like civil unrest.
Yeah, civil unrest to like a cataclysmic level, because I mean, I witnessed myself in Walmart. Don't ask me why I was there. In Walmart one day when the Link system was down.
Oh yeah.
People were like just viciously irate. like literally getting physical with the people at Walmart, pushing them.
Well, Black Friday, for example.
Right. I mean, you want,
you know, that's when you start to see the person behind the person.
Exactly.
And that's been lurking in the shadows.
So, and that level of desperation is really not, because you want the dolly, you're going to punch somebody for that dolly, but are you really going to take a bullet to the brain for that dolly? No. Well, then when you get into the situation where you're talking about food and water, then it gets a little more, I don't know, hard to discern.
So for the most part, we as a society, we're pretty unprepared. I mean, most people live in places where they don't really know their surrounding geography. People live in places where, I mean, we're a migratory species now. You know, we go where the work is, where
nomadic,
the money is.
Very nomadic.
Yeah, we're very nomadic. So most of us don't even really know what's at our disposal, even in a 3 or 4 block area. So, I mean, in your opinion, when something like this does happen, it's going to be rapid, right? I mean, a lot of people are going to go very quickly. So the numbers are going to get thinned, and especially something like a zombie virus, those numbers are going to get converted rapidly.
Right. Oh, exactly. Like I said, it's so high speed right now, you don't even, you know, if you're talking whether it's airborne or even if you have to be bit. I mean, you watch on the news, people smoke bath salts. They were naked in the highway eating another person, and people were like, oh, my God, that's crazy. And then that's it. I mean,
yeah, these aren't the cautionary tales of staring into the sun when you're on LSD now.
Right.
Now the cautionary tale is bring salt and pepper, because more than likely you're going to be eating another person's face.
Right. And then the preparedness and training. Training overcomes that that initial shock of not knowing what to do. But we're so inundated with it. Honestly, if we walked outside right now and saw someone eating someone on the sidewalk, we'd say, oh, holy crap, I'm going to go call the police. And then watch from inside your house, or maybe go to try to stop. We wouldn't think this is the end of all time. This is the zombie apocalypse. So like this is some basalt zombie.
And I think we might not even have those same fight or flight skills we had 200 years ago. I think most people, unfortunately, might just be frozen to the spot.
They'd be frozen. And then, like you said, hundreds of years ago, it was a whole different situation. Now we see something absolutely terrifying, and we are so unsure whether it's real or not, the first thing we do is we break out our cell phone and start taking pictures of it.
Right. So in the ether, there's going to be tons of pre-trauma selfies.
Exactly.
Taken by people who either think it's probably a publicity stunt,
right,
or people who think that it's going to go viral, and then they're going to get their YouTube dollars.
Exactly.
Instead of the fact that they're really just walking in their own coffin.
Right. Everybody was so on 10 hundreds of years ago that if you came out of your house coughing, they're like, oh, he's probably infected with the devil, and they would take off running.
Right, they just throw a bag of leeches at you,
right,
and just pray for the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we are so desensitized that, and I see it all the time with this, people ridicule us preparing. It's like, oh, you got a backpack full of stuff ready to go in case you have to run out of your house. Oh, you're one of those preppers. And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess.
Now, do you subscribe to the idea of go, go, go? We get our stuff, we bug out, we go, or are you more of a dig in?
It completely depends on the situation, what's happening. And one of the main things that I teach in all these courses is for people to nascite ipsum, know thyself. If you can pick up a rifle dropped by a soldier that has been eaten by a zombie and shoot your way out of 100,000 people with your family safely, then you go. If you can't do that, you should probably think about sheltering in place. So it just depends on the person. You know, a lot of people on that. Another one of the biggest dangers of this stuff to people is themselves, because we all want to be that person. I mean, zombies attack right now. What I'm going to do? I'm going to do a backflip over this truck, and I'm going to take
Yeah.
You know, everybody is a super ninja. And then ultimately, your ice cream diet and, you know, 40 hours a week on the couch isn't going to serve you well.
Well, especially if we're talking about the fast zombies. And this, people always assume that we're going to get these slow, stumbling, lumbering creatures that are giving us ample time to move and get away, when maybe this is a virus where, unfortunately, we get the fast-moving zombies. And I mean, I can't even begin to think what would run through even my head if we see something that horrific, then take speed.
Right. Right, right.
And approach us not with, again, that lumbering maw dripping blood, but this is something rabid and ferocious and fast, and, you know, there's locomotion there.
Right. And that is one of the reasons that we started putting together the the family-oriented survival stuff on our site, because really, if that happens to me or you, whichever one of us is slowest is going to die. So, and I run real fast. But when you're talking, you know, you go outside, you look at this, and you've got the fast zombies leaping from car to car, attacking people, and then you've got
the parkour zombies. Yeah,
exactly.
That's my biggest fear, that they're all parkour zombies.
Just chew right through the wall and get you. But then on top of that, you've got three little kids, so... It becomes a choice of, if you prepared and trained, you have a lot more options as opposed to outrun my children or watch them be eaten in front of me.
And nobody really wants that.
I mean, not most of, like, on top of
the physical and emotional trauma,
right.
Like, we really don't want to have to deal with the memories of our kids being consumed in front of us.
Yeah, that is why the prepare and train thing comes into it. If you're prepared and you train, then you get a lot more options.
So let's say that the heat comes down, and it happens in a way that we're as prepared as we can be, but you got to take flight. Now, you do have some food, you have some things to sustain you, but maybe you've got one weapon.
Right.
Like, what would that be? What would that one thing be? I know a lot of people talk about, well, guns run out of bullets. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might have a hatchet, we might have a machete, we might have something smaller. I mean, whether we want to... explore the possibility of it or not, we're going to get into close quarters with these things,
right,
whether we like it or not. It's just an eventuality.
Hmm. That one thing would be a very solid plan. There's no one... I can teach you how to make fashion just about any weapon if you just have a knife. I can teach you how to fashion a knife that you can use to fashion other weapons. But if you don't have a plan and don't have training, all that is for naught. It's better to have a rock-solid plan with all types of contingencies and no weapons than it is to be loaded for bear with every weapon you can carry.
And that's another thing, too, is that people, I think, for the most part, feel that preparedness is just, you know, loading up with 30, 40 pounds of supplies. But again, now we're looking at, that's as good as carrying around a 40-pound child.
Right. On top of the 40 pounds of supplies. That's the thing. If you don't have anybody to worry about, you still have to worry about things like, how far can you walk with that 40 pounds? How long will that 40 pounds last you? Can someone take your 40 pounds? You know? So, the basic survival training that we focus on is training people how to survive without all that crap. I've spent months preparing for this disaster, and now someone come in, knocked me out with a tire iron, and I woke up and everything's gone. Now you're done for, because your plan was your credit card bought you supplies. As opposed to, you wake up, all your stuff's gone, you just go with your contingency, you know?
So have you seen, it could be a series, you know, television, it could be, you know, something that hit the theaters, it could be something just on Netflix. Have you seen anything that's pretty accurate, anything that you saw where you're like, okay, that's probably how it would happen. This is, you know, we're not getting these instant superheroes, you know, that we're getting people who are very scared, people who are running. Have you seen anything that you think accurately depicts how it would probably happen?
The nightly news.
I mean, honestly,
there's.
Yeah.
I mean, all these shows, they have really good elements, certain elements, but they fail to capture the, I don't know, the terminality of the, mm-hmm. of the situation of how. I mean, these people who were an accountant, nothing as accountants, but an accountant who never trained to fight, who never ever been outside of their office, and all of a sudden, after a week of fighting zombies, they're fist fighting Navy SEALs and, you know, these types of things. Which comes down to nosce te ipsum, know thyself. If you're an accountant who never trains and never fights, and you think one day you might need to, you should probably start training to fight.
Well, and I think we're also, unfortunately, we're faced with plot devices that lead us to believe that when it does happen, all it's going to take is some element to trigger this primal memory, and all of a sudden, you know, we become the man we were destined to be. And I think, unfortunately, people are going to be very frustrated when that doesn't happen, quickly very dead.
Exactly. That's one of the things I had blogged about, was the Mama and Papa Bear myth. And I've talked to people who, this is their core, this is the center of their preparedness to protect themselves and their family. The Mama and Papa Bear myth goes like this. I don't work out. I don't train to fight. I eat crappy. I watch TV. But if someone threatens me or my children, I will mystically have the power of a grizzly bear, and I will rip them to shreds. And, you know, I entertain it. It's like, you know, I don't know if that's a good plan to rely on the mystical papa or mama bear strength. And they'll say, well, you know, when your adrenaline drains, your strength is just, you get twice as much strength, which comes down
to... That's when you Hulk out.
Oh, yeah, you Hulk out. You go from being able to lift 10 pounds over your head to being able to lift 12 pounds over your head. So it just Hulks you out.
And right. You don't instantly get to lift and then throw Buicks around.
Exactly. That's one of the hardest things to overcome is to get people to train because they really believe. It's like they have a baseball bat in the corner, and that baseball bat will handle anything that comes through that door, even though they've never swung the baseball bat, and they don't know if they can swing it in their doorway or not. But it's just that... Not knowing yourself, you're so inundated with that superhero stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They don't show you that behind the scenes, the superheroes don't lay around and watch TV. The superheroes are, like, training 24/7 to be the superhero.
Right. You know, Batman doesn't do this thing as a side occupation.
Right, exactly.
You know, Batman's the guy that's actually struggling to be Bruce Wayne instead of the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
So when can people expect to do this? I mean, we're heading into obviously more of a fall season now. Would this be something that they could do this season? Are we looking to maybe do it in the spring? What's probably the best time, especially for the cataclysm preparedness?
Well, if you're doing it to gain a little bit of information and have fun, we'll go for the more moderate weather. If you actually want the training, we will hit when there's a blizzard. We will go out there when it's the worst weather you can imagine. It's wet, it's cold, it's rainy, and miserable. That is one of the hardest things about getting people to train is everybody trains best case scenario.
Right, 72 and sunny.
Something,
yeah.
Exactly. Something happens terrible at 72 and sunny. I have all my equipment with me. Everybody's with me. The perfect situation. And experience in life has taught me that shit never goes that way. You train, you prepare, and then the worst case scenario becomes the worst case scenario.
Okay, so... How do they get a hold of you? I know you have a web address that you can give people. So what is the web address? What's the best way to contact you? And then what can they expect? Return contact from you and then sort of the details that way?
Right. We have immediatethreats.com is the website, Immediate Threat Solutions. We have a list of learning courses on there you can choose.
And this is a relatively new website, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's relatively, it works really good, looks really good.
Well, some people expect, you know, because when you look at different industries, looking at concealed carry, people expect, unfortunately, that there aren't a lot of tech-savvy people in these industries or these niches. But we've been on the site, and the site looks great. It's also, they get on their phones, so it's completely mobile compliant as well, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yep. And probably best way to contact us is through the website. You know, that has been one of the real challenges of getting all this off the ground as we were in this phase for a while. I'm sure you remember where anybody that was prepared, they're called preppers.
Oh, yeah.
And
a prepper
was immediately a white survivalist separatist. You know, all those terrible
things. Oh, of course.
There's
a stigma.
Like,
there was definitely a stigma.
So
yeah.
Now, thanks to shows like The Walking Dead, we're starting to come out of that. And people are seeing that just because I prepare for disaster doesn't make me kooky. You know, my old grandmom used to can vegetables and keep them in the basement, and we didn't think she was a wacky prepper crazy girl.
Right, but we did have the stigma where instantly if you were a person who was prepared, and you were prepared because you just never know. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to think that, you know, that things can get bad, especially when you look at other countries.
Oh, exactly.
You know, I mean, we are sort of spoiled in this country that even we do have bouts of sort of civil unrest, we have riots, you know, they're pretty isolated.
Right.
But, you know, in other countries, there's so much of the countryside that experiences a lot of violence. Mm-hmm. They experience a lot of this,
food shortage,
government upheaval. Yeah, and even food shortages, you know, in addition to the usual poverty.
Right.
So they don't even have enough to put aside, and then, you know, it gets even worse.
Right.
When these cataclysmic instances actually happen. So people can get a hold of you. You can discuss the availability, where this is actually going to happen. Now, we're in a pretty decent place because Springfield, Illinois, obviously, we have all the seasons, so you can expect training and inclement weather, but
right.
You can also expect what it's like to be just outside of a somewhat densely populated area.
Right, right. It's a really nice location. It's easy. Well, it's short distance to get to, not so much easy to get to. It's very isolated, but we take people down there and just, like, let them go to town. Then when they contact us, we try to work with them to figure out exactly what it is that they're after. Because most people say, I want to be prepared. And it's like, you want to be prepared for your car to flip over in water? You know, be prepared to fall out of a plane? What is it that you want to prepare for? And disasters is such a broad thing, you know. That's why after we got out of the anti-preparedness prepper phase, when FEMA, like I said, started doing commercials about zombie apocalypse, prepare, get your 3 days of food and water together, stuff like this, is a really good thing.
Well, people can go to the web address, which is immediatethreats.com, correct?
Right.
Okay. And again, thank you so much for stopping by with us today. I think this is great, too, because like we said, Walking Dead is coming back. People saw the first episode just last past Sunday. People are, you know, pardon the expression, but rabid for more.
Right.
So it's great because a lot of people, you know, when they watch this, they're thinking about what they can do, what they would right. do. And at least we could, have them take a look at the reality of it as opposed to sort of the, you know, Hollywood drama of it, because those two things are obviously very, very different.
Right. If you want it to happen, make sure you're ready for it to happen.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much, and hopefully we can keep people over to the website. And again, that's immediatethreats.com, correct?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.